Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are talking to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Actually, you're listening to the Grilling Guys. I'm doing the talking. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Yeah, welcome, and thanks for talking to us over the radio device here while our producer types. Yeah, so it is the weekend, and everybody's probably sitting around all fat and happy after putting on the big feed bag.
Yeah, the food coma might be wearing off by now, a couple days ago. And then, Bob, I'm not a big Black Friday guy. I just can't get into that fray.
Nope.
There's nothing I need that bad to go out and wait in line at 4 in the morning to get something purchased. I guess maybe I'm a little more practical as far as my shopping. I mean, when I can be fat, happy, sit on my couch and do it as a cyber, maybe you don't get the same deals. I don't know, because I don't go out in the mix and fight the traffic and do all that. Did you do any of that?
No, we specifically stay away from any type of shopping on Black Friday because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
The traffic's crazy. The loads of people in the stores are crazy. And, chances are my wife's got half the Christmas shopping done already, so it doesn't.
Yep, today's Small Business Saturday, right? If you're listening to us on Saturday, you may be listening on Sunday, and then it was, of course, yesterday. But
is that how that works?
Yeah, the small business thing is near and dear to my heart. I'm involved with a small business association in the little community that I live in, and all of us merchants that are there are really trying to, cut a living, provide a great service and a great product, and it's tough to compete. And so my endorsement goes out to, if you know of a small business that is out there today, take a chance and go frequent that. And if it costs you $5 more, so what? And it might not in all likelihood, but if it does, you're supporting someone who's supporting your community rather than some black hole that's out there and coming from a warehouse and who knows where when you purchase on your on your device. So
yeah, and you only get one instead of 20 of them.
Right, yeah, right. And there aren't any hassles when you have to return it because it doesn't fit because we're there.
And I think that fits because if you look at our sponsors, I mean, one of them in particular, our very first sponsor was Allen Bob Sports.
Yep.
And, they survived the onslaught of Gander Mountain, gone.
Right.
Cabela's moved into town, not having much impact on them.
Right.
And Allen Bob's just keeps growing and growing because they're a specialty shop. They're going to double their size in January.
Right.
With their new location. So if you look at all the other people, like Standale Lumber, like Old World Olive Company, Benando and Flickama, all these people are
Siciliano's,
small businesses.
Yes. Sobey Meats.
They're all small businesses.
Right. Look at the explosive growth of our friends at Sobey Meats. Right. Great success story. They're 12, 13 years old,
yeah.
And they started out just Tim and Teresa, and bang, they got 50, 60 employees
now.
Yeah,
they were
in
a little bitty
market.
Shop, and now they're in a 4,000-square-foot shop. And I told Teresa last week, I said, this store is not going to survive at this size. You're going to have to get another building. And she looked at me, and she said, don't ever say that again.
Yeah.
They're so busy there. If you ever go in the back end, like when trucks are coming in, I mean, the vendors can barely keep the place stocked.
Right.
So small businesses, that's the machine behind America, and that's what's going to make this country grow. My waistline's growing, I think, after Thursday, though. We had all the kids home, and Matt and Emily are home with the babies. And
well, they're a little closer now. They're not in California and Tennessee, so that's easy.
We're living in new construction.
Right, right.
Not
that's been a fun
same.
Process to watch. we were... If any of you have ever remodeled a home or built a home, Bob's living in it while he's doing it. And that in and of itself probably says it all, because you're living in a construction zone is a huge challenge. The dust, the dirt, the noise, the disruption, the lack of amenities that you have, it just really, you're kind of living in your lower level and you're kind of living in a corner of it. Now your family's home, filling it.
Fortunately, yeah. You put a nice wet bar in our lower level, and we're living in the lower level, so that little wet bar is serving as our little galley kitchen.
Right. Yep. And you know, it's amazing what you can do with a little cooktop on the countertop, and but the refrigerator works, so yeah. The beer is cold, and that makes a lot of the pain go away.
So. Yeah. So Thanksgiving for us was the good news is the new house upstairs is very large. And so there was lots of room to lay out two full folding tables. So we had like a 16-foot table, and everybody got to sit at the big table.
Right. And that's cool. And this is the first Thanksgiving for your granddaughters?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no.
No, the second. Right. They're over a year old. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, but probably the first one they'll ever remember if they do. But they're walking around and having a good time. And I know I called you the other day, and you're like, hey, Job, can I call you back? My granddaughter's sitting on my lap right now. And I'm like, hey, you bet, man. That's cool. That's what the holidays are about. And when family comes together and you get to share that stuff and some good food. Did you do the traditional Thanksgiving? Did you cook it or how'd that go in a partial kitchen?
Pardon that construction noise. They're working around the clock in this building. When it comes to Christmas and Thanksgiving, Mrs. Nirmico does everything. And she enlists her posse. She's got Maggie and Emily and Olivia all assigned to certain tasks. And us guys, we stay out of the way. I usually recruit the boys to help me split and stack a little wood.
Right.
Because they like a good workout. And they know it's coming anyway.
Did you smoke any of those turkeys?
No.
Oh.
No, on Thanksgiving, we put one big one in the roaster.
Okay, because you were talking a couple shows ago where I thought you were going to do the roast.
That's for Christmas. That's for Christmas.
Okay, and then, yeah.
Yeah, that's not me.
Once again, we're in a building that's got a little construction going. But anyway.
Or gas. I don't know. It could be somebody else.
So these contractors keep coming in to your house.
You get to know them really well.
Right.
Yeah, because the guy's in mudding right now.
Ooh, there's a job you don't want to do.
This guy is a magician. I mean, we hired a really good company. It's called Diemter. And these guys are, I mean, the guys that came in to hang it were really pros. They're fussy. I'm so glad I didn't attempt to do the drywall. I did the wiring. That was enough.
Right.
And I did some of the framing. And, you know, I'm doing the little things I can do by myself easily enough. But the drywall is forever. I mean, you see that. And
it's the finish.
I have seen other drywall pieces I've fixed or changed or whatever, and I always see the blems, and I can't take my eye off them. So having this guy, his name's Paul, he walks around on stilts, and he's so stinking good.
Right. And there is a difference. That's the last thing you see. You throw some paint on the wall. Now, painters are talented guys, too, but the drywall guy makes or breaks the finish. And if he gets that stuff smooth and the seams hidden well, your project, regardless of what's behind the walls, your project looks great when it's done.
So. Well, it turned into quite a large project, and he keeps commenting on how many joints there are. And there's five skylights, and he says, man, this is taking me twice as long as I thought it was going to.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, well, take your time.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm not in a great hurry. I just want it done right. Yeah, exactly.
I love that sound effect, Brian. That's very good how you do that in the background.
Yeah, you can stop leaning on the button now, though. Yeah, there it goes. Yeah, it went away.
I think he's going to break through the wall any minute.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about what to do with all the leftovers. And we've got some people coming up that are going to help us with that. We've got Jim Crank from Crankers. Of course, there's no leftovers there, but we want to talk to him about winning as a silver medalist at the Great American Beer Festival. That's the first time for Crankers. And then we're going to get our buddy Cowboy Rob Russell back in to maybe give us some ideas on what to do with some turkey. And then you and I have come up with some cool things through a little research. So stick around.
We'll be back.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's S-A-F-F-I-R-E at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. We got Turkey Day behind us, Black Friday. Hopefully you've recouped, and it's Small Business Saturday. And I tell you what, we're all about small business here at the Grilling Guys. We are one. Our sponsors are. And it's just good to be in this little place we call America. But anyway, now on the live line, we've got one of our favorite small businesses that's been part of this show for a long time. It's Jim Crank from Cranker's Brewery. Crank, how are you, brother?
I'm doing great, Randy. I'm doing excellent. And hello to Bob, too. Good to hear from you guys again. So.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks. And we're sipping on an Irish Setter right now on your stead.
Can't beat the Irish Setter. It's my favorite. It's my favorite, and I wish we could brew a one beer Irish Setter, but unfortunately it has to be blended to make it the true Irish Setter, and it is great. I love those.
So for anybody that's never had an Irish Setter, Crank's got three locations, and wherever you go, you can get the Professor IPA, which my boys absolutely love, by the way. IPA and the Bulldog Red, Go Bulldogs, which is Ferris State's mascot. So if you blend those two, 50-50, you come up with an Irish Setter.
That is correct. But the only thing you're missing there, Barbecue Bob, is that you have to put the Bulldog on the bottom.
Is that what makes him red?
I know how, you know, how particular you are with your recipes and everything.
Oh.
I want to make sure you get this right for all your fan base.
Well, you can pay the doctor bills then if I have to get a bunch of stitches. So
but Bulldog Red has to go on the bottom. The Professor goes on the top. You can mix it any way you want if you like a little bit more of the IPA, but it's a perfect 50-50. It will turn the color of an Irish Setter, and we are going to be bringing that out in a in our new canning promotion in a 12-pack with six Professor and six Bulldog Red. But in the meantime, before
great idea.
The come out, you can still buy them in six packs in the bottles. The Professor IPA is a great go-to IPA. It's honestly one of my favorite IPAs. No bias. It's a really great West Coast, true West Coast style IPA. Nothing crazy, just a good beer. And the Bulldog Red for traditional Irish style red ale is a great beer. And they're just good go-to beers and good style drinking beers. And we're very proud of them.
Now, in deer hunting tradition, I always go to Cranker's because you're so close to our hunting camp. And you were telling me that you took a silver medal.
Yes, we did. We're very, very honored. We received a silver medal at the GABF in Denver. It's our first GABF medal. We've won like 14 other medals at other competitions, but the GABF is really the coup de grace, and we're very honored that we were selected as a silver medalist in the for our chocolate pomegranate stout, our chocolate aphrodisiac, and very honored to be able to win that medal. There's only a couple other Michigan breweries that were honored as well, and we're very proud of it for our Michigan craft brewers, and that we can represent Michigan with a medal, and it makes us feel pretty good for the hard work that we put in too. So,
Crank, chocolate pomegranate stout, is that what you said?
Yes, it is. The chocolate pomegranate stout. It's a fantastic beer. It's a 9% beer, so it's a pretty high ABV. We're also doing a bourbon barrel version of that right now, which is going to be, I think, absolutely one of the best bourbon barrel beers that's going to be out here probably about 3-4 months.
Man, there's a lot going on there. Chocolate pomegranate bourbon barrel stout. Okay, there's just initial jop on one of those bottles for me, because
or barrels.
Yeah,
I see you on that one. I really do.
Right. Wow, that sounds good.
You had him at pomegranate.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Even though he's kind of stout himself.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So I enjoyed some Antonio Brown at Deer Camp. Thank you. God bless you. That made Deer Camp so complete.
Okay, I got a question. Is that one of those bulldog on the bottom things, or is that a beer?
Stop it.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
That is our Antonio Brown Ale. So Antonio Brown, in case anybody doesn't know, went to Central Michigan University, where we have a Crankers as well. And Antonio used to come in there for breakfast quite a bit. So we couldn't name the beer Antonio Brown Ale. It's Antonio Brown Ale. But everybody's all good with it, and we bring it out every year for the Central Western game, and we let everybody know that we have it on. We bring it out to bars around Michigan. There, believe it or not, there's a bunch of Pittsburgh Steeler bars around Michigan, and they want as much of that beer as we can produce.
That's cool.
It's a neat thing, and it is. I agree with you. I think it's a very nice brown, smooth brown ale.
That's a very nice tribute to pay to somebody as accomplished as Antonio Brown.
Oh, yeah.
And that's actually I had a beer down at down in Bridgman, that brewery down there, and they named it after one of the U of M players who went on to play in the NFL, and I can't think of his name right now, but that's just a very cool tribute to do for somebody that's got local notoriety.
Yes. No, it was fun, and like I say, Antonio used to come in quite a bit in the old days, and used to love our junkyard omelet. And every Sunday we could see him and Rick Zombo and Dan Lefevre. Those guys used to come in all the time for breakfast. It was kind of a cool thing.
So, Crank, if people don't know where you're located, tell us a little bit about, you're not only a brewery, but you got some restaurants too, brother.
Well, they were, and that's the thing that's, it's kind of difficult, is that people sometimes are expecting to go to a brewery type looking place. Well, we were restaurateurs first, and we had the Coney Island concept that we kind of brought to northern West Michigan in the Crankers Coney Island. We knew we always wanted to open up a brewery, so in Big Rapids we built on our production facility right next to our restaurant, and basically cut a hole in the wall so you can just kind of walk right through it, which is kind of neat that you can come in through a Coney Island type restaurant, which we've kind of made look a little bit more to tie it into the brewery scene, and then walk into a brewery. So that's kind of neat. And the other ones were basically Coney Island restaurants that we tried to, you know, make them and look as much like a brewery and change the feel a little bit, with keeping a lot of the stuff from the Coney Island. Just try to not alienate the people that have been coming in for years, and try to satisfy the new customers that are coming in. And that's what we've done right now. And
you know, that restaurant before you bought it, when Jop and I were at Ferris, do you remember the name of that place?
Yeah, it was like a 24-hour diner or something, wasn't it?
was the harvest table.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Boy, that was great at 1 in the morning.
Gentlemen, but after you guys graduated, it was the State Street Grill.
Yeah,
the harvest table was great about 1 in the morning for some scrambled eggs right before you headed home.
Yeah, the post-bar deal.
You can still get that on Friday and Saturday nights in Big Rapids.
We have
tradition on. We're open 24 hours on the dining, and they, we call it the dining side, 24 hours, and you can still come in, and you'll still see a lot of, you know, it's your good Bulldog fanfare there at that time of the night.
So, Jim, tell us how our Ferris Bulldogs are doing.
Ferris Bulldogs are doing fantastic. We cooked the Thanksgiving dinner for them Wednesday night, and they were heading off to Fort Hays, Kansas, where they're playing today, the number one team in the nation. And
wow.
We got a bye in the first round, so we're ready to slay the Giants and hopefully bring home the national championship this year.
We've That's been amazing.
Pacing it the last 3 years, and what a great program they have, and I'm very proud to be part of it.
Yeah, we all are.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I know you've got a bunch of restaurants to run and people probably waiting to ask you what to do today. So we'll let you get back to work. And thanks again so much for taking time with the Grilling Guys today, Mr. Crank.
Hey, love it. I love you guys, and hope to see you soon.
Okay. Thanks so much. That's Jim Crank, founder, owner, proprietor of Crankers Brewery. You know, Jop, the Crank family in the Detroit area is legendary in the restaurant business.
Sure.
They have banquet halls all over, and so he knows how to serve some food.
Coming up next, not only Crank, but somebody else might give you a full belly. It's the Full Belly Deli. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got 6 packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport, it's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Yeah, welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the post-Turkey Day edition, and I hope your family gathering or wherever you went really well. Mine did, as well as Black Friday. I don't participate. I just relaxed and let the food coma wear off. And here we are on Small Business Saturday. So go out and support your small businesses in your community because, you know what, they are the engine that keeps the American economy going. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
This message was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Yeah.
So how about getting rid of some leftover turkey?
Got some ideas. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, go first, man.
I mean, usually like after Thanksgiving, I've eaten so much turkey on Thanksgiving Day that I'm kind of shying away from the leftovers. I might do them once, but if we do a really big turkey, which we did, there's going to be a bunch of it. Now, it was easy for us this year because we have a couple of hound dogs that take it back to their apartments with them.
Yeah, 20-somethings so that still eat like horses. Yeah.
I'm sorry about this construction outside. He only comes on when we start talking. So here's something. How about a turkey quesadilla? And it takes about a half pound of shredded turkey. You can use dark or white. A couple teaspoons of minced pickled jalapenos I like. You can use fresh, but I like the pickled. 3 tablespoons of fresh chopped cilantro. I meant to say tablespoons of the jalapeno. And I'll put this on the site. 12 ounces of shredded pepper jack and about 4 of the large flour tortillas. And then some Old World Olive Company's garlic EVO. Wow, that's crazy. So you chop all this stuff up and you combine it, except for the oil. And then you get a nice hot cast iron skillet and you put a little bit of that oil in the bottom. And you take this mixture and you cut it up into like 4 sections because you're going to have 4 tortillas. Really?
Yeah.
And
so just talk louder, Bob.
Yeah.
You can just talk over that.
I can be really loud. And then so you take a bunch of this mixture and you put it on half of one of these tortillas and you flip it over and you build them that way in advance. And then you get that pan medium hot and put some of that garlic EVO on the bottom and you just place one at a time, if you're tricky, but one at a time in that pan and you already have them folded in half. I always used to do quesadillas wrong. I would put a tortilla in,
load it all up,
put another one on the top, and then try and flip it.
Right. Yeah.
I didn't know any better.
Crap all falls out.
It
you don't
did.
Have a spatula big enough.
It just fits
in the pan.
No,
yeah.
So anyway, it's just nice with turkey, cilantro, jalapeno, pepper jack, cheese, some sea salt, and that turkey turns into something way better than turkey.
Right.
You know, it's just a nice white meat. That's got a nice profile. You could play around with a little cumin, a little garlic. You know, if you have tahini.
It's tahini?
It's T-A-J-I or T-A-J-I-N-I. It's a Mexican tahini. Spice. It's a little skinny, weird bottle. It's all red. It's got like dried tomato and stuff in it. You could play with whatever your favorite Mexican spices are in there. And do it up the way you want. Another good one is a company called Knorr, K-N-O-R-R. They make the powdered chicken bouillon in the jars, the powdered stuff. They make one that's a tomato bouillon.
Oh.
That's fantastic on Mexican food. It gives you a nice red profile. There's a little bit of chicken bouillon in it. It's a little salty. And again, these are all profiles you're building up. But that's some pretty cool stuff to use, too.
Me, when I got the leftovers on the second day, the first day you kind of heat up everything that you had the day before. That was Friday, right?
It's easy,
and you're still okay with it.
You want some more mashed potatoes.
Right, yeah, I want some more mashed potatoes. You're exactly right. But on that Saturday, Sunday, when you still got a pile of turkey left over, I go down to the lower level, and I go to where I store all those appliances that you only use once or twice a year, and I get out the panini press, okay? And that's that little hot and on both the top and the bottom, right, to press. And
like a George Foreman.
Right, yeah. And I don't know what brand I got. But at the end of the day, I take and put some Chipotle EVO on the outside of the bread, and that's going to get me that crispness when the heat comes down on both sides.
Really?
That Chipotle got a little bit of bite to it. And then I just make what is a plate of what my normal plate would look like at Thanksgiving dinner, but I put it on bread. So you're going to have turkey. And here's one that sounds gross, but you're going to love it if you do it. Take a spoonful of mashed potatoes and a spoonful of corn, if you have it left, and mix them together. And put that turkey on there and put a little layer of mashed potatoes and corn on there. And then I take a piece of provolone cheese. And that's my panini on there.
See, like if you were hunting and you were trying to hunt me and shoot me.
Right.
If you put mashed potatoes and corn as a bait pile, you'd have me in 5 minutes because there's something about that. A little bit of gravy.
Right, yeah. Yep, and a little bit of gravy on there because the gravy will press off and it sometimes runs away. But so you put that on the turkey level before you put the potatoes and corn on it. You put it together, drop that panini press on there for 3 or 4 minutes, and bang, you have the little Thanksgiving Sammy that is just unbelievable with a little bit of bite on it. On the back end with that Chipotle EVO that we get from our friends at Old World Olive Press. Now, if you heard any of that over the construction
that's
going outside,
earrings.
You got better ears
you got
than
great
I do.
Hearing because, if you did.
Again, we apologize. But
he only comes on when we're talking.
Right.
On break, he's not around.
Right.
So you know,
but anyway, so that's my favorite turkey leftover is that panini sandwich that happens with. But it's the potatoes and the corn mixed together. I'm sorry if it sounds weird until you try it. You're going to love it.
My son Jordan and Alex, both of them actually do. But they do that. Like they'll put their potatoes on the plate, and then they'll put the corn on there, and then they'll put the gravy on it.
Right, mix it all up. it's a fabulous bite,
well,
man.
Alex has,
makes my mouth water just
Alex
to think about it.
Alex is an engineer, so he doesn't just mix it up. But he plays with it and manipulates it for like 10 minutes. We're all done eating, and he's still trying to get a perfect rectangle on his potatoes. It's like, really, dude? Because we're cutting pie.
Right, yeah. Speaking of pie, are you a pumpkin guy?
I love fresh pumpkin pie.
See, I can't. I envision that little pumpkin sitting on that chair where it looks like he's dropping a pumpkin pie. Out, you've seen that cartoon or not? Where
no.
Make a little chair and they set a pumpkin on it and
so
he looks like
it's like poop?
Yeah, right. The texture, the flavor. I'm just not a pumpkin pie guy. Fruit pie, all day long. Love me some fruit pies. But you get some blueberry, some apple, Dutch apple with the piece of sharp cheddar cheese.
Yeah.
that's a home run for me.
So if your wife or better significant other has ever made real pumpkin pie, you will never, ever complain about it because if you roast those pumpkins and then scoop that meat out and put it in a food processor and make the stuff yourself fresh with the eggs and all the stuff they put in it, and then you have a fresh one like that out, it's like custard. It is so stinking good.
But maybe that's why I've never had that.
A lot of pumpkin pie is pasty and dry. Like you have to eat it, even if it's out of a can, you still have to eat it the first day.
Right.
Because by the second day, it's like, I can't swallow it.
You know what? You could use it in your house to put your flooring down.
Yeah.
Because it'd hold those tiles on your floor.
Yeah, patch drywall.
Yeah, I just don't like that. it's not my game.
And then the thing is with the apple pies, like I like the way old school apple pies, like my mom would bake an apple pie on a lower heat for about an hour and a half so the potatoes were nice and apples were nice and soft. My wife likes to do them faster at a higher heat so the apples are kind of crispy. Sounds silly, sounds like trivial, but it just tastes different.
Right.
I like the old school, the way the old ladies when I grew up used to make it. And
yep.
So
where's the pie sale anymore? Where all the ladies in the neighborhood used to make pies. Yeah, boy, those. Yeah.
The health department will shut them down.
Yeah.
Because they're mean.
Easy.
Because they're mean.
And if you disagree with that, call Justin Barkley. But. But anyway, there's a great story there I'll share with you later. But anyway, coming up next, one of my favorite guys on this planet we call Earth, Cowboy Rob Russell, is going to impart a little Thanksgiving tradition on us. Stick with us. We'll be back. You're going to take this heartbreak and chuck it away, save it for a rainy day.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well at Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
The Grilling Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. Thanks for tuning in. Hope your Turkey Day and Black Friday was good. It's Saturday now, and time to get out in your backyard and fire up a grill or a smoker and do something with those leftovers. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks a lot. We appreciate you joining us, and don't forget to check us out on thegrillingguys.com, and we're on Facebook / thegrillingguys. I'm on Twitter. It's Grilling Guy. And if you go to the website and you need any recipes, half of them are Rob Russell's, and he's on the live line right now. But if you want to get the show on a podcast, go to the top right corner of the website, and you'll see a set of headphones. And just click on it, and we'll send this show to your device. No charge. No, you know, we won't even, like, follow you around into alleyways or anything. So on the grilling line right now is Rob Russell. Cowboy Rob.
Hey, what's going on, Bad Bob?
Good to hear your voice, pal.
It's good to talk to you.
It's been a while, Robbie. And for those of our listeners that don't know, Rob and Barbecue Bob used to do a traveling education show for a couple years. They were all over the country teaching people how to use a smoker. And I'm going to tell you that this guy's forgot more about barbecue than I'll ever know. I learned so much from the two of you. And it's just great to have you on and impart a little bit of your knowledge with our listener group. So anyway, your turkey day was good?
Well, what are you guys paying for turkey up there?
$1.99 a pound.
Wow. We're paying 69 cents a pound here.
Is that frozen or fresh?
That's probably frozen.
Yeah, our big retailer called Meijer has 48 cents, but you got a pound, but you got to buy $30 worth of groceries to go with it to get it. Kind of thing.
Yeah, that's not hard to do.
No.
A half a sack.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
That was Jop's name in college.
Was it?
No, I'm just kidding.
No, I thought that's Lance Armstrong.
So, oh boy, we just veered right off the bike trail. So what do we do with our leftover turkey?
You know, since I don't get turkey but once a year, I always buy an extra one and freeze it. That way I can have it, like, maybe towards the summertime. But by the time I get done eating turkey, I'm so tired of turkey that you only have 7 days. And I guess now the health department's changed that to 8 days after the turkey's cooked before you have to eat it or freeze it. And so I have 7 days to eat it, and I'm usually pretty tired of it right after Thanksgiving.
Right.
So a couple of things I like to make, and it's just some good home cooking we do here in Kansas that – and I know it's everywhere, but I'd like to make a chicken or a turkey and dumplings. And usually what I do is I'll boil my chicken and use the broth,
But then I save my chicken for, like, chicken quesadillas and stuff like that.
You mean turkey?
Yeah. And you know, turkey and you can use turkey and dumplings or turkey and noodles, and you kind of get, you have a focus on the noodles or the dumplings.
So you're, like, so you're gleaning the meat, you're stripping the meat down and making a gravy and making up some dumplings.
Yes, yes. But, you know, a lot of times I'm just, since I spent so much time in the kitchen making Thanksgiving dinner,
yeah, right.
I usually go buy store-bought frozen noodles. We have a brand here, I don't know if you have them in Michigan, but it's called Reams, and they're every bit as good as what you can make fresh. I mean, it's not a lot of work to make the noodles fresh, but, you know, probably one of my favorite things to make is a turkey pot pie.
And oh, yeah.
I kind of want to disguise that the turkey's even in there. I mean, I'll put the turkey in there, but since I've eaten so much turkey, but then it gives me a chance to get all of my vegetables, and it freezes well, too. So make a big batch of that and freeze it in you know, just quart containers, and time to get done with the turkey pot pie and the turkey and noodles, then usually your turkey's gone. Because I like turkey, and it freezes okay, but I really never like anything that's been cooked that sits in the freezer very long.
You know, Maureen loves making pot pies, and she loves eating them even more.
Yeah.
But she does usually on Saturday, so maybe today when I get home, she'll have a turkey pot pie in the oven, and she makes a wonderful crust that our daughter Emily actually found from Ina. I think they call it Ina's crust, but the crust for a pot pie is everything. But you're absolutely right. That is another really great use for turkey as a pot pie, because you forget it's turkey. There's so many veggies and potatoes and stuff in there. It's kind of like a pasty with gravy in it. Jop's not even picking up on it.
No, I am. I am, because I, you know, I just let you guys go. Everybody knows that a pasty needs gravy, not ketchup.
Rob loves pasties because they have rutabaga.
Yeah, you know, that's all those words you make up, and that food you make up, you call it something. Never even heard of that stuff in my life.
I told him it was a rutabaga. He said, a Studebaker? Olivia still quotes you on that, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, traveling the United States, and Crappie, you said, you know, they spent a couple of years. We actually spent 7 years traveling the United States.
Yeah.
And we traveled a lot all over the United States, and it's just so different, the different food specialties and stuff, that unless you're there, and I mean, unless you watch a bunch of food shows, but I watch Food Network all the time. I've never seen some of that stuff you guys eat in Michigan.
Right. And that's the country, and that was one of the more fun things we did when we traveled. But we certainly had an awful lot of fun meeting people around around this great fruited plain. So it was a pleasure to travel with you, and I learned a ton from you. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had a blast. We had a blast and learned a lot. And
no, you taught a lot too.
Taught a lot of people.
Right.
Taught a lot of people how to do the right do barbecue right.
Rob introduced me to Coach Dick Vermeil.
Right, and you've had a lot of fun with him over the years.
Yes.
So let's dig back into the curriculum, if you will. And Rob, as long as we're talking, give me a couple common mistakes that people make when they're smoking a set of ribs or a pork shoulder. That you would say that you saw most as you traveled across the country?
Well, the first thing they do is they oversmoke it. That's a, you know, if you bite into, even turkey can be oversmoked. If you're smoking a Thanksgiving turkey, if you use a real bitter wood, it really doesn't make any difference what kind of wood you use. But if you oversmoke it and put too much smoke in it, it's going to get bitter. It's going to give you indigestion. And everybody that I've talked to that I've taught how to do barbecue the right way, they said, boy, before I ate your barbecue, I couldn't eat barbecue because it always gave me indigestion.
Because they ate at Dickie's.
Yeah. And the second common mistake they usually make is they don't separate the temperature of the smoker from the temperature of the meat, and that in correlation to each other and how it works. But everything's about time and temperature, and it doesn't matter how long it takes you to cook it. It's always got to be to the right temperature, internal meat temperature.
Rob, we're out of time, buddy. It's so good to hear your golden voice. Can't wait till I see you again, and I'm going to take you up on that offer, and I will be there for whitetail season next fall.
We're feeding them right now, so it'll be good and fat.
All right.
Okay. Rob Russell, Topeka, Kansas, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Have a good turkey.
All right. All right.
One of my favorite men on the planet. That is a humble man. He is an expert in barbecue. But anyway, coming up next, we'll have some turkey egg rolls. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Took the long way to your house. I can still hear the sound of you saying don't go. When I think about you, I think about 17. I think about my old Jeep. I think about the stars in the sky. Funny
how... Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come and have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Today's man law, when shaking hands, this annoys me, okay? Just for all, everybody listen up here. When shaking hands, stand up, grip firmly, and look him in the eye, okay? If you shake hands with a guy and he sits down, just pull your hand back. Do not honor that person with a handshake. If he's going to sit there, I don't know. I won't say anything else.
No, there's a lot to be said about that because it's the integrity and the genuineness of the greeting. And if I'm looking down or I'm looking away, I'm sending a nonverbal message
some
that I don't
people,
really care.
Some people do that.
Right, I'm doing this. It's something that I got to do. It's not something that I want to do. And I've got a couple younger people that I have interaction with from time to time, and they'll give you the limp fish, and then they'll also look away. And when I get a hold of their hand, I like give them a little tug right toward me, and it'll snap them out of it. And I said, when you shake a man's hand or you shake a lady's hand, you look them in the eye and you grab their hand and give them a firm handshake. You don't squeeze their hand.
You don't hurt them,
but let them know that there's an interaction going on here. Big thing. That's a man deal to me, a big one, because it says who you are. It says a lot about your character if you're doing the limp fish.
And you are a character,
right? So let's
turkey
talk
egg rolls.
What about them?
Oh. I found this online. I have not made this yet. I am going to try it. My wife would like these because she loves egg rolls. I would change this slightly. I would add a little bit to this. But the one I found, it was on, I think, on the Food Network. It was really cool. There were several variations of it. But this one said to take some turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, egg roll wraps, egg, cranberry, yada, yada, cider. So basically you take the turkey, the mashed potatoes, and the stuffing, and you roll them up in an egg roll wrap. And you can buy these right in the freezer case or the dairy case. They're very common anymore. They used to be hard to find. You brush them with an egg, and then you bake them or fry them. Now, I would fry them because I'm that kind of guy. And then for the cranberry dip that you make for your... You know, because when you get a spring roll or an egg roll, you always want to dip it in something.
Yep.
So you use your cranberry sauce. You add some apple cider vinegar, some sugar, and you're making like a turkey version of an Asian spring roll.
Right. But you want that dip a little more liquid than rather than a cranberry relish.
Right. You're going to heat it up. So I'll put the recipe online if I can without violating...
Just give them credit, whoever you got it from the Food Network.
But you combine the cranberry jelly, vinegar, sugar in a saucepan over medium heat. Remove it when it's warm, and you serve that sauce warm when you dip it.
Mm.
And because I love egg rolls,
right?
I mean, I might try a variation of this and do turkey and cabbage and maybe some kind of a celery pepper combination and use up my turkey that way. I'm not so fond of throwing stuffing and potatoes in a wrap. It's too much starch. So you could keep it a little bit higher on the protein side. You're still going to have a fatty starch in the wrap, but you could throw cabbage in there and still go with the cranberry for your sauce. And I think you could have something pretty cool there.
Yeah.
I might even throw a little bit of cayenne with that cranberry.
Mm-hmm.
You could call it crying cranberries or something like that.
Is that what
that?
You call it? All right. Hey, I want to give a shout out, Bob, to all the people that came down to Schmoe's and helped us out with the GI
God
barbecue.
Bless you.
We were able to raise a substantial amount of funds for the cause. We're almost there. We're going to put one more little fundraiser together up north at Chase Creek a little bit later this year.
We're working on it. Let's pressure Chase Creek. If you go into Chase Creek Smokehouse, stop Pat and say, hey, we got to do the chili cook-off in February.
Right. So we're going to do it. But, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Be safe out there. Enjoy your holiday weekend, and we'll talk with you next week. Wrong, I've done, but it-